Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issues of Today.
Coming to you live. Here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
Hey, sorry about that, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening live to Issues of Today Talk Radio. And, you know, it's the host, Ty Solangelo, the new voice of the people. And we're waiting on the co-host, Jackie, to come with us. You know how we do Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here live from Indianapolis, Indiana, that town. All right, and tonight we have another incredible topic to discuss. It's definitely an issue of today, and that's the voting change in Florida and Michigan that the Republicans are trying to do to keep certain individuals from being able to vote this coming election. All right, so we'll be discussing that in a few minutes. I'll let you know when you're able to call in and give your and voice your opinion, get your voices heard on the Issues of Today Talk Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, but you know how we do. Go on to the song of the day, and today we're going to be listening to CeeLo Green from Off of Fame. Listen to Issues of Today Talk Radio.
Well, I'm a species of rebel, human, not hard to see. The thin line between the vine and killing machine. A dark side of the line that no one ever should see. Oh, I feel for the foolish, for flipping with me.
You don't know me, no record can't tell you. Uh-oh,
Yeah, that was CeeLo Green with Awful Thing. That's one of my favorite songs right there. I want to thank everybody for listening live to Issues of Today Talk Radio this evening. Excuse me, sorry about that. And as we get into tonight's discussion about the change of the voting process in Florida and Michigan and what the Republicans are trying to do to keep certain individuals from being able to vote in this coming election. And what I want to get into before I do all that, I want to thank everybody for listening, for all the support coming in this week. Like to be on for a week. Definitely appreciate all that. Everybody comes into the chat room, the Rush Show, Death 1895, Miss T, Jay Knox. I want to appreciate everybody for definitely supporting the show. Continue to listen live into our show. We definitely try to keep you up to date with topics of discussion. Definitely rate the show, take the polls, and just continue to support. Appreciate it. All right. Now getting into this topic about the Florida. We all know that a couple of years ago they had a definite situation with some of the votes and votes getting lost in the last election. So here we go again. Florida Part 2. And for those who are unaware of what Florida, what's going on in Florida with the voting change, and they actually call it a voter fraud, okay, this is what the Republicans are trying to do in the state of Florida and also in Michigan. And what they're trying to do is, let me actually pull this article up. You can actually find this article, okay. This is nothing that I'm making up when I'm not talking about this tonight. This is not something that I conjured up. This is actually an authentic email, actually an article off the internet that you can look up right now if you wanted to and read along with me as I read this off. Okay, it's www.eurweb.com. Okay, and once again, that website is www.eurweb.com. Okay, and then when you go into the site and you go into the search part of the site and just put in Michigan and Florida, the voting, and you scroll down, you'll see the title of it is Michigan GOP Group Accused of Voter Fraud. Okay, so that's from September 19, 2008. You can find that, and it'll definitely explain what's going on right now. But let me just give you a brief rundown of this article, and it starts off like this. Lawyers for the Democratic Party and Senator Barack Obama on Wednesday filed a complaint in federal court in Michigan accusing state Republicans of scheming to strip the right to vote from people living in homes that had been placed on foreclosure lists. Okay, for those who may not understand what that means, basically if you have owned a home for however long, a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you're in the process of losing that home due to non-payment of your mortgage, and your house has been placed on a foreclosure list. Not necessarily saying that you've lost your house yet, and that has been taken from you. However, if you have been placed on a foreclosure list, well, what the Republicans are trying to do is keep you from voting. Okay, now let me read this next part of this article, and it says here, second paragraph, the lawsuit followed reports of a local newspaper interview from Cobb County GOP Party Chairman James, I'm going to probably mispronounce his last name spelled C-A-R-A-B-E-L-L-I, who said he planned to draw on publicly available list for home foreclosures to bar people from casting their votes. We will have a list of foreclosed homes and we'll make sure people aren't voting from those addresses. Basically saying, if you are voting from an address that's on a foreclosure list, you will not be able to vote because that address is non-valid. You do not technically live there. That's what they're trying to say. So if you are on, if your house is, you get notes in the mail saying that, placing your house on the foreclosure, and if you do not get that situation cleared up, or come in a couple months here, you will not be able to vote. Okay. Now, same chairman states that he didn't say anything. So let's read a little further. Although James denied ever making a statement and has asked the Michigan Messenger website for a retraction, Republicans in the battleground state argue that people who have lost their homes may no longer be a resident at the address listed on voter records and therefore ineligible to vote. What this is an attempt to keep people from voting that more than likely will be voting for Barack Obama. Okay? So, and from what this report says, and I'm going to continue to read a little bit more into this, that these houses that they're speaking of in these areas are low-income areas. Okay, so let's read a little further into this. Obama's camp believes that GOP efforts in Michigan are intended to reduce the turnout in poor areas and among African-Americans. Okay, affected by the housing crisis and thought to be likely Democratic voters. Okay, so the Republicans are not attacking the voters that would, of course, vote for McCain. They're attacking voters who plan on voting for Obama. Okay, and like I said, you can find out with people in the chat room. I'll just put that link on there. I'll put it on there again just in case anybody wants to pull that up, because it's exactly where I'm reading from. If you're listening live and you're not in the chat room, that website again where you can find the story where I'm reading from is www.eurwebb.com. www.eurweb.com. Okay? And you can definitely pull that up. I'm just typing the search for the Michigan voter fraud, and that story headlined Michigan GOP group accused of voter fraud. That's where you can locate this story where I'm reading from this very moment. Okay. To look into further into this article here, states here from a quote from Gerald Herbert, I think that certainly the Republicans seem to be much more out front about how they're going to challenge people's right to vote. Okay. What are we seeing this time around is more of a broad-based effort. We're also seeing the Republicans being much more assertive and bold in their announcements and not necessarily trying to do it under the radar. Basically, they're not hiding it. They're definitely going right in your face and letting you know that, look, hey, we're going to do what we got to do to have the situation and the outcome of this election in our favor one way or the other. Okay, and for those who don't believe me, that's why I keep running off this website. You can definitely go back here and research this yourself. Now, Jesse Jackson has joined into this to try to fight these efforts. Obama is definitely following suits. And let's go into Florida situation. And this was an email sent to me on Florida on the Florida voting change. Excuse me again, sorry about that. If you definitely have anything that you want to ask about this, or you want to voice your opinion about what it is we're talking about tonight, please call into the show 347-326-9697, and you're live with Issues of Today Talk Radio. All right, now in Florida, it's not the same thing. Actually, that story I just read was actually strictly for the state of Michigan. But in Florida, it says here, if your driver's license address does not match the address on your voter's registration card, you will not be permitted to vote. Okay. But this, when I read this at first, this was not necessarily a bad thing. And the reason why I say that is because when I went down to vote for Obama when they came here to Indianapolis, when him and Hillary Clinton were going for the Democratic nominee, we were told to go down and vote. Went down to vote, and my address did not match, and they did not allow me to vote. I had to, redo the form all over again. I was not able to vote then. So I don't look at the Florida situation as bad as the Michigan situation. okay? So if you don't have, basically, if your address on your, wherever you live now, wherever your current address is, if that does not match the address they have on file for you, you will not be able to vote. So if you have not gotten that done, you definitely want to go downtown and get that handled ASAP, because if not, you will not be able to vote. And we already have 8 million African-American people out there not registered to vote. I don't know how many other people of other races we don't have to vote, but we need everybody to get out and vote. This is a very important election, very important time period in our life. It's going to be history-making. Either way, if McCain wins or if Obama wins, it's going to be history in the making. So we definitely want to get out and vote and put the right person in office to lead this country into a better situation, better direction, okay? So if you are just tuning in, we're definitely talking about the Florida and the Michigan voter situation. I read an article from Michigan to where if you are on a foreclosure list, you will not be permitted to vote, okay? If you are in Florida and your driver's license does not match your driver's license, if your address on your driver's license does not match the address that they have for you on your voter registration card, you will not be permitted to vote. So anybody who's listening to this, you definitely want to get out there and take care of that. It's extremely important. Everybody needs to get out there and take care of this so we can handle our business in a couple more months. Now, I want to hear from people out here that's listening live to the show. Definitely call in, because I want to hear from and feel how everybody feels about the situation. Honestly, me, I'm an Obama fan. Before Obama got here a year ago, I couldn't have told you who Obama was. But I like Obama for his theories. I like how calm he is. He does not get emotional. He does not just blurt out answers. He thinks before he speaks. He knows exactly what he wants to say. He knows exactly where his goals are and his intent. And so with that, that's why I'm an Obama fan, and I like it to not believe in his methods. McCain, I do not believe anything that comes out of his mouth, because it sounds too much of the same thing we've already been going through and that we have already heard. I watched 60 Minutes the other night with Obama and McCain. Wasn't impressed about what McCain was talking about. I did appreciate the fact that, you know, he was a prisoner of war. We heard that story 1,000 times, and certain things that the challenges that he faced in his earlier childhood and early stages of his life. However, there's a lot of people out there like that. There's a lot of people who've done a lot more in the Army. There's a lot of people who've done a lot more in the community. And they're not, you know, nobody's saying that they're the next president. The president, to me, it doesn't matter. Your background plays a part somewhat, but it has to be somebody who has a vision and a common sense factor on where this country needs to go. So with Obama's experience and the parts that he has played, it will make sense to place him in office, not because of race, not because of he's young or what have you. It's about what he says and how he says it and what his goals are. McCain's goals are just really is just to follow in the same footsteps that Bush has already walked in. And that's not in the direction that, you know, that we need to go. If you're a person and you want to continue to go through the turmoil that we've been going through for the last 8 years, then yes, you go right ahead and you vote McCain and put a smile on your face. But if you are a person who is tired of your job getting outsourced, tired of losing your job, tired of being laid off, tired of food going up, tired of gas going up, tired of the education system being stripped from your kids, tired of safety in the neighborhoods being stripped from your kids. If you're tired, and you're sick and you're fatigued with these situations going on in our country, then the best thing for you to do is to vote for Obama. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm giving you, explaining you the difference. You make your own. You make your own pick. Make your own choice. Now, Russ is in the chat room. Asks about. Says, what about the people who only live in Florida a half the year? Well, honestly, I do not have an answer to that question, due to the fact that the story that I'm reading is kind of like half a story. It's not a full-fledged story, but let me pull up the story because it was sent to me by email. So I really don't have a answer for you on that. The best thing I can just tell you is what it says here. If you would like, Russ, you can just email it, put down there in the chat room your email address, and I can forward this to you. And you can finish reading this for yourself, but it doesn't have anything in there about people who've only lived in Florida for half the year. Okay. You're tuned in to Issues of Today, listening live to Issues of Today Talk Radio with the host, the new voice of the people, Charles Longino. Jackie couldn't join us tonight. She'll be with us tomorrow night, and we're discussing right now the Florida and Michigan voter change and how they're actually changing the situation there. We're going to go to the phone lines. Hey, thanks for calling into the show. What's your question or comment?
Hey, how's it going? This is Russ.
Hey, what's up, Russ? How you going?
All right, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I was bouncing around trying to get the website. I have to go look for the article again and then read it, because every time I went on and I copied and pasted it, it was throwing me off. That's why I was coming back on and off. But I do understand some of it. I spent a good 2 years in Florida, and I remember one point when they were getting ready to vote, went over to try to vote, and I couldn't vote because, number one, I had a different license from another state, and they weren't going to take that. And I don't know if whether that was because it was something I was supposed to do or fill a paperwork out. If you're going to be a absentee ballot, I think you're supposed to do that. And that's why I couldn't vote. But and also, too, I think the locations of where they had the voting was a little bit funny. I know they had one at the police station. I know they had a voting a booth there, and I don't know if people whether they're intimidated to go and vote or what. I don't know if that would intimidate them to go and vote. I don't know. Maybe people are afraid they're going to get just a ticket. Maybe if they're going to get their license checked, they'll have a couple of tickets on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually retyped the original website, and underneath I actually typed what to put in the search part of the website so you can pull that.
Okay, yeah, I'll go in and pull that. But, yeah, so there's a couple of things you were saying. I mean, as far as voting for Obama, I mean, you know, I think the people would be thinking, you know, okay, just because he's a black president, you know, he's going to do this, he's going to. I think what people don't realize is that once he gets in there, you know, he's not going to give anybody any slack. And, you know, we know ourselves. I mean, he's basically going to do the job, and he's going to do the job a lot better than what people think. And he is not going to be given any leeways. If anything, I mean, we all have had fathers and uncles and you know, relatives that, you know, just don't – he's not going to be joking around. You're going to have to – we're all going to have to stand up and do what we have to do and get it done. You know how it is. I mean, I know when my father was – telling me to do something back in the day. I mean, you know, there was no, you might think you'd get away with that with somebody else, but, you know, you're not. And when I say father, I say because I'm talking about men, especially men of color. You're not going to, whether that's in a college, because I know I went to a college where there are a lot of black professors, and there's no excuses, you know. There's not going to be any excuses. You can't go into the classroom thinking just because somebody's black you're going to get a better grade. If anything, that's going to be the opposite. You're going to have to work harder
Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Obama concerning this election?
I had a little trouble hearing that question. I'm sorry.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about Obama concerning this election?
Oh, I think the misconception is people keep saying we don't know whether we can trust. We don't. We can trust him. We can trust. What is it that you're worried about? Someone misconception is that he's a Democrat or because he's black, he's gonna go in and I guess he's gonna be a specialty president. I don't think that's the case. I mean, all presidents that have been in the White House have had some kind of specialty towards some cause or something that they're doing. You know, Roosevelt's wife was, very involved in the women's cause. It didn't hurt his presidency. You know, he went out and she did what she had to do. I mean, he's going to get in there and say, okay, well, forget everybody else and I'm only going to work with this group and not work with that group. I mean, I don't even think, and then the issue comes of whether, and I'm tired of hearing it, whether he's half black or half white. It's just a human being trying to do everything that's right. And I think what a lot of people miss in through this whole conversation about presidents is that, you know, there's pretty much an outline to what a president's supposed to be. And these guys are studied. He's a well-studied person. He knows about the Constitution. He knows about the federal papers and, the layout. And have you ever read the federal papers?
No.
Well, it's a book basically that talks about the layout of the country, where the people who laid out this country got together and said, look, we're going to look into the future. They saw things like this. They saw that people were going to be envious and jealous, and they were going to be, all of these power struggles. So in that book, it talks about these things that would happen. So he knows about these things. He knows about what's gonna go down. Anybody that's had that kind of education understands the system. You know, the system will work. It's just that there is a plan to it. So if everybody just goes by, you know, all this stage shows, Springer type events where people are yelling and screaming and talking about it, that's a bunch of foolishness. The bottom line is that we need somebody that's going to represent the country. I don't care who the person is, as long as they do a good job. Now, you hear that coming from me. Now, somebody that's on the other end, and I've been in many of those situations where I've walked into places and said, oh, well, not him. People would say, well, not him. You know, you can hang around, but we won't have you. Why? Because it's always that foolish trust issue. You got to go four folds over to get somebody to realize, oh, gee, we can trust you now, you know, and that's foolish. The man's going to get in there, and all this baloney that's going on all around at the talk, you're going to find out that he's going to be a good president. And for my own ideas, I just think that even McCain, I like McCain, and again, like you said, he talks about him being a prisoner. If anybody that went through something like that can bounce back and get to the level that he is now, that's remarkable. Yeah. But for this country, and I'll make this shot, for this country overall, if you could get these minds together instead of this party baloney, this party that, if we could get all these intelligent people to work together, especially at this particular time in our country, and stop worrying about these party stuff and everybody get the ideas together. And I don't care if McCain wins or Obama wins, I hope the door is open for these brilliant people to sit down with each other, look face to face, whether it's the Clintons or anybody else, and say, hey, let's get a pool of thought here together and really fix everything. And forget about this one being, you know, you hear one end say this one's conservative and this one's that. Each group is a little bit of everything. There are Republicans who are liberal. There are Democrats who are conservative. It depends on what you define as being conservative. You know, everybody has their own definition. Go around and ask everybody, what is conservative to you? Conservative may be that you don't want this particular person to be on this platform. And then you ask someone, I'm sorry?
No, I just, when I listen to Republic overdog. Not all of them, because some of them actually do say some things that make sense. Not everybody's just on the same page as a Republican. Not everybody's on the same page as a Democrat. Some Democrats out there don't do nothing.
That's right.
You know, and some Republicans out there who don't do nothing. But what I want people to understand is, before they get to judging McCain and before they get to judging Obama, look at the interviews, watch the debates, listen to the Democratic nominee speech in Denver, and then listen to McCain's. When you hear Obama, you hear things that the average American can relate to. You hear things that the average person is concerned about. When you hear McCain speak, you're really talking to a bunch of soldiers. You're really talking to a bunch of people who do not. I could even, when I listened to his speech, I felt incomplete after it was over. You know, when I heard Obama speak, it was like it moved me. He could have been sitting there making up all that, lying, so whatever he was doing, but he, you know what I mean, he still moved you. You felt that. I didn't feel anything when McCain spoke. All I felt was somebody. It looked like he was just a scapegoat for the Republicans. They needed somebody out there as a face just to go up against Obama, and he was just the one.
I just think we need to find a solution to, you know, people just looking at real issues for real people, and stop the divide and take all ideas from all sides. I know a man just came up to me the other day and said, try to explain to me, you know, the difference he feels between the two. One is going to do one thing, and then, you know, the one is going to raise the taxes, one is not. Here's the facts, blah, blah, blah. Which one, you know, Obama's going to raise the taxes, the other one's not. But what you don't understand is the other one may not raise taxes, but he may do something else. He may give a big tax break to a corporation.
I want to know this. I haven't looked this up yet, and I need to.
And we talked about this on the last time I was on your show, on those big breaks, what the welfare and all that other stuff.
Exactly. And what I want to know, and this is something I haven't looked up, who came up with the idea of Democrat Republic? Because honestly, nobody is a total Democrat. Nobody is a total Republican. You got a little bit of both in you.
I agree with that. And there's a lot of people they're hiding behind certain things. And we do have people that are on the fence. They float on the fence, and when one thing is looking good, they jump on that, and then they jump on the other. And that's not good. So maybe, I don't know, they need to look at it in the future and find a better way, because we need to stop this divide. It's almost like you've got, you know, it's like a civil war between two ends. And this is like the second coming of a civil war in that sense, that you got two parties. Instead of having, we should be united instead of worrying about, you know, this end and that end, right or left or blah, blah, blah. And you always hear people say, well, this one's to the left or this one's to the right. What do you know what's to the left or to the right? You know, if you lost everything you ever had and you were on the streets, you would be hanging with everybody that's to the left, because you'd have to survive with these people that know how to survive on the left. If you became a millionaire and you went on the right and you were hanging out with all the people that had all the money, all of a sudden you would be trying to survive with all the people who have all the money, because you want to know how to stay at that level. So there's no difference. So if you go to one or the other, right now you have a situation across the country where you have professors, teachers, mothers, children who are going to become homeless, who are in the street. They're going to go through the same experience. They were living at a certain level, and all of a sudden they're going to find themselves in the street. Now, what's the difference? Are they going to call themselves still conservative when they're on the street? You may call yourself conservative if you only have one chocolate bar in your pocket. If you want to conserve each one of those pieces for each day that you will know you need to survive, you're going to learn how to be conservative. You're going to bear. But if you turn around and you've never experienced having nothing, if you have never ever been homeless, if you never have to run around and look for a bag of bread, then you don't know. And then you can't say, well, the person got themselves in that situation because they were a bum. I'm tired of hearing that. Nobody, again, and I'm going to keep saying this on every show. Nobody in this country wants to be a bum. Nobody wants to sit on a corner and ask for money. Nobody.
Well, no, I disagree with that. And
okay.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
If the, I'm not gonna say all homeless people because I don't know all of them, but I do know that there are at least 40% of homeless people who are very intelligent, who have degrees, who have background education, who are actually meant something to society.
Mm-hmm.
But for some odd reason, something happened in their life. Could be their wife died, their husband died, children died in front of them, or they might have lost everything they had for some odd reason, lost a lot of money in the stock market, or whatever happened in their life, and it triggered something, they just gave up on life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're walking around here thinking that they are finished and they have nobody there to uplift them and to get them out of that hole. Some people, and you have those type of homeless people. Then you have another type of homeless person who just wants to, who don't want nothing out of life, who feels good about sitting on, I do security at a nightclub on the weekend sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and I see homeless people all the time. They walk up and down the street with a little sign, and they say, I ain't going to lie to you, I just want some beer. You know, and then you have those type of homeless people who don't want none out of life. They want to be homeless. They don't care. They're gonna keep begging for money. They're gonna keep begging for beer. They're gonna keep begging because they don't want to work for anything.
Because they've given up. But you know, around the Roosevelt administration, what he did to uplift the country totally was to come out with that New Deal program to say, listen, we're gonna pick everybody up. And when people see a difference, when you don't see a difference, you know, a person's going to get discouraged. But if you see that the overall country really gives a care and says, you know what, we're going to get something going, you watch how many people will pick themselves up. I've seen people go from a streetwalker to a bank manager. And you mean to tell me that person can look back and say, you know what? I never wanted to be there in the first place, but they picked themselves up. I agree with you, though. I understand what you're saying, where some would say, because I know there's a guy right outside my door, that when he will purposely tell me, I will never pay rent. And when it gets real cold where I live, I tell him, wouldn't you rather be in a house? He says, I don't believe in paying rent. So he's going to end up in the cold. And I keep telling him, you just don't have to be in the cold. There's other places where you can, you know, you're working. He says, no, I just don't want to pay rent. I don't believe in paying rent. So he's going to live in a tent.
I've actually heard of stuff like that.
So he's going to live in a tent.
I actually heard of individuals who do not believe in paying rent, and they actually have a truckload of money somewhere. I don't know where they keep it, but they just do not believe in paying rent, and they prefer living on the street.
Have you ever seen the documentary Doc Days?
What was it called?
Doc Days.
Doc Days. No, I haven't.
Doc Days. Have you ever seen that documentary?
No.
When you get a chance, look that up on YouTube and look for Doc Days. It's about a filmmaker who spent about 4 years, could have been 2 or 4 years, in a New York subway. He lived below the ground with homeless people, and they trusted him, and he showed them how to. They became his film crew, and basically they let him into their lives, and the railroad station wanted to break down their shabby town houses. They had these wooden stick houses that they were living in. They had a cold water to take a shower in, so there was a housing program in New York that helped them get out of the subway and put them into apartments, and they all live in apartments now. No one's living in the ground. But it's an amazing story. It's called Doc Days. You check that out if you get a chance on YouTube. It's an amazing story about how people can get to it. I hope you get to see it. It's an amazing story. You got to get the tape.
Well, I'm gonna actually we have 20 minutes to go left on the show, and then I'm definitely going to go on YouTube after. I'm a YouTube freak, so I'll definitely get on that tonight and look at that. Right now, we're Issues of the Day Talk Radio, talking about the Florida and Michigan voter fraud situation. Do call in at 347-326-9697. I have a guest right now, Russ Show. joining me tonight. Yeah. We're having a good conversation about what's going on with this entire election. I received another email. I'm just, while you was actually speaking, I was looking this up because I saw it had something else to do with the voter registration. And this is an email I received from a family member, and it reads like this. The story is all over Progressive Talk Radio talking about the McCain campaign sending absentee ballot applications to registered Democrats or people that have donated to Obama's campaign. These ballots are deliberately misleading and have postage paid return addresses that are for an election clerk that is outside of your city or town. What it says is what this will end up doing is either having your vote not counted, or if you return one of these, then they will cite you for election fraud, saying that you already voted absentee. These ballots are only being sent out in purple states. Okay, and this is a big deal. This is called voter caging and is a huge problem. McCain campaign is still in this election as we speak. Please get this information out to as many people as you can and tell anyone you know who has received one of these ballots that they need to contact their city election clerk or supervisor of elections immediately. This is a prime example of what I speak about when I say this world is built upon corruption and people are continuously doing the wrong things to try to get to where they want to go. This is my co-host calling in. What's up, Jackie?
Hey, Taj. Hey, everybody. I'm so sorry I'm late. I was experiencing technical difficulties today.
What's up,
I'm catching you on the end. You're talking about fraud in Florida?
Yeah, we just, me and Russ is actually having finished up the discussion about this whole entire mess they got that the Republicans have going on. And they know they're working their way, they're trying to win this election the wrong way. And what they don't understand is the American people are actually more smart than they think. These are not the people of the 80s and the 90s who pretty much, if you put a message on their TV or put the message on over the airwaves, people are just going to believe it. No, we're a lot smarter now. You got the younger generation, they actually read up on this stuff now. You got the internet out here. People are not falling for the same tricks anymore. And they're trying
to... Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I don't know if you had discussed this already or not, but I kind of want to make a point about something that is kind of tripping me out with McCain and him not wanting to do his debate on Friday.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about that?
Yeah, I actually found out about that tonight, that he canceled the debate.
Right.
Because he's claiming he's canceling this reasoning. For counseling in the debate, so he can go back to Washington and help them with the $700 billion.
And see, I feel like when I first heard that, what's so funny is, guess what I saw? My first thought was, that's a front. Because you're trying to make it seem like you care about this country oh so much and you're all about this country, but that's not even where you are with this. That was a
mentally,
front.
Mentally, this is what's going on. And this is just my opinion, but I'm smarter than the average bear. McCain knows he has no chance. Excuse my language. He has no chance in hell at beating Obama in any kind of debate. This debate is not going to be fair. It's going to be a brutal, one-sided debate because Obama, the way he explains himself, the way he goes into very detailed. He's going to run all over McCain. McCain did this because he knows he's going to have to do certain tactics and delay himself from actually being embarrassed on national television.
Right, right.
So he pulled this stunt.
They didn't even give it another date.
Yeah, they're not going to. He pulled this. He pulled this because he knew he could, and so he can better prepare himself to go up against Obama. That's all this was. He knew he had probably no chance in winning this debate. So he did what he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. He stalled time. That's all he did. He stalled time. But he can only stall time for so long. He need,
right.
he, and like I told Russ earlier, Mm-hmm. McCain is, the Republicans themselves are not looking at McCain as somebody that's actually going to go in here and win this thing. They're looking at McCain as a face. So they had to have, the Republicans had to have somebody to go up against Obama. So they threw him out there.
Right. That's
all this is. This is not anything that they're looking at really winning. And if they
they're not even taking it serious.
Oh, no, they're taking it very seriously. But they're just doing that because they have to. They have to. They just can't roll over and die, so they have to do something to make this election interesting.
Right.
They have to. They have to do something. So this is all this is. But they know McCain. He has nothing. They know he's going to lose. They know he's going to lose. That's why they're doing things like this Florida, Michigan type ordeal. They're doing things to where, like this email I just read, they're coming up with all these different tactics. But at the end of the day, the people do not want another 8 years of what we've been going through.
Yeah.
So he can run, but he's not going to be able to run for too much longer. He's going to have to man up and face the music. Mm-hmm. And Obama's going to and when Obama takes his rightful place as president, the American public is actually going to have to support him by taking care of their business, by doing what they're supposed to do, so make the job easier on Obama. But if they don't do that, then it's not going to matter what Obama does.
There always seems to be this, and I want to say hello to Jackie, is it?
Uh-huh.
Jackie, how you doing? This is Russell.
I'm good.
Good. There always seems to be this fear that if he becomes president, that you get this idea that there's going to be a shifting of money, take one from the other and give it to you. That's not what this is about. This is about him becoming president and solving some of these problems that we have across the board in the country, taking care of little people, you know, and the emphasis is going to be homeless people because of the situation with this mortgage thing that's going on. You're going to have people, you know, that are going to be coming to, you know, they're going to need help. And if you're used to seeing a certain type of person on the street, you just get ready, because I know I lived in Florida and I saw the tent cities, and I saw the women and the children and the ex professor and the teacher and people who are homeless are not what you normally think. You know, it's not this guy with a bummy jacket on with a beard and everything else. You were talking about families, American families, you know, same kind of situation in Orleans. You know, that was definitely a picture of what's going on in pockets all over the country. So we need to get rid of that. We shouldn't have that in our country. And everybody should be basically lifted up out of that. And, you know, this country's strong enough to do it. And if you want, you know, I lived in Florida. It's a beautiful place. I love its entrepreneurship. I love business. I like to, you know, it's a good thing. And you see all the beautiful homes, but you also get to build the infrastructure, which they do. They do a good job on, you know, transportation is a very important thing for people. You have to circulate. If we're not circulating, we don't get to meet each other. You know, your business doesn't get to circulate. But if you're not taking care of the infrastructure, you're not taking care of health and everything else, You're destroying your country, destroying beautiful people. We have many different people in this country, and you know you can't just expect people to just sit on the sidelines while you're building skyscrapers. It doesn't work that way, and it's sad because they're not getting the picture. And I don't know if it's because people are staying too long in these sky rises and they're not going down to the ground level. You know, they're not seeing what's going on the street. When I moved to Florida, I'm no rich man. I moved to Florida. I walked on the streets. I got to talk to the people. I mingled around in the communities. I got you get to see the person that's on that corner that's homeless. You get to talk to the business people. You see what's going on. It's a beautiful community. And if everybody can just see that and connect. I mean, maybe some of these people that have never been in that situation, if they live in a gated community, or they, like I said, they're too much on the 66th floor and they've never really been into, you know, onto the streets. There are beautiful people in this country, so you need to take care of them to make it all work. And if they could do it, man, just I'll tell you one thing: Florida would be an amazing place. And like I said, I met a lot of different people in a lot of different areas, you know, a lot of different backgrounds and creeds and color, man.
I believe that, you know, one thing that will fix a lot of these challenges that we have in society today is people have to start caring about people again.
That's right.
That has been lost somewhere in the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
People do not care about people anymore like they used to. People dying is almost like, oh, there's another person dead. Oh, it means nothing.
A life means nothing.
The value,
it's just the courts, man.
The value of life has gone down to the toilet.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think? Why is that? Why is it that we don't value life like it was before?
Honestly, it's a combination of a lot of things. It's a combination of people are hungry out here. So
mm-hmm.
that brings, when people are starving, that brings violence. That brings
mm-hmm.
robbery and murder and jackings and home invasions and bank robberies. All these things that people are taking because they don't have it. Now with all these with the job getting outsourced, with my job myself, I haven't worked a full year in almost 2 years because continuously getting laid off because the housing market is a mess. We build finances. So
I want to
cut
this in if I could, that you guys were bringing up homelessness and stuff like that. Here in Indianapolis, we have a Hoosier Dome, RCA Dome or whatever. And it's funny, my godmother and I were talking about all the different things that they have built here in Indianapolis and different things that they're doing, and we were trying to figure out they were deflating the dome today because they're about to tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking, and was like, you know, with all the homeless people that we have here in Indiana, why would you tear the dome down when you can actually turn that into something that would shelter these people for these cold winters and these hot summer nights and put like a little soup kitchen or restaurant or something in there and feed these people? You can change all of that structure around. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to answer that real quick. Who's going to pay for it? Us.
But you know what, Taj? I would rather pay for it to get them off the streets and try to help them better. You know, if they could get a hot shower and a cold meal, they may feel better about themselves and go out and look for a job. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not disputing
what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let the people who's listening,
mm-hmm.
which think that's a good idea, which is not nothing wrong with that idea,
mm-hmm.
but then the taxes go up again.
You know what?
Have sales tax. Mm-hmm. Sales tax is already 7%.
Mm-hmm.
Let me finish this real quick. $700 billion plan that they want to implement, it's going to take your income tax check. So with
mm-hmm.
all that going, there's nothing wrong with that, but then you know, if they have to find a way to do these certain things without hurting the public again
mm-hmm.
and again, keep going mm-hmm. deeper and deeper and deeper into our pocket. We already pay money, taxes to hold prisoners in there for committing. We're paying for them.
Took my money to build a new stadium, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't need that brand new stadium.
That's right. You know, I know you don't have much time on the show, but I know this is going to be very maybe simplistic to, you know, what I'm going to say, because you said, where are you going to get the money? Well, I know I'm living in Baltimore and seeing the big ads up for the alcohol, and they put these big ads up in the urban cities and they make a lot of money on that. You know what? I would turn around and I would take these cigarette companies, and each butt that I saw on the sidewalk, for each cigarette butt that's thrown on the city streets, I would put a tax on that. And I put it on all these big cigarette companies for every time. If you want to smoke, you can smoke. But every time you throw that butt down on a sidewalk, I would tag it onto these companies so that they would turn around and pay. I don't care if you're paying a nickel or a dime on every butt. And I take all that money and use that money towards doing all these things that we need to do. That would bring me some big revenue. Every time I go out the house, there's a cigarette butt on the ground. So I wouldn't tell somebody to go around and pick them up. I'd just say, look, if you corporations are going to sell these cigarettes that these kids are all getting hooked on cigarettes and getting cancer and all this other baloney, I'm going to tack a tax onto it.
Yeah.
And that's the money. And that's the money. Think about how much money I'd have on every cigarette butt that's on the street.
And that's creative ideas, and that's good brainstorm. That's actually a good answer for what I just said. So, you know, so that there again, when we had these discussions and people listening, that's why we asked people to call in, because I wasn't even thinking like that. So I had a question of who's going to pay for us, and then I had a rebuttal. He comes with a solution. There you go. And that's not a bad idea. And that's not a bad idea at all. And that's going to be, you know, that'll be something that's hard to fight, because they're going to do everything in their power to stop it. They're being charged that. However, that's not a bad idea.
You had asked me a question.
I wanted to get a chance to really. We got 3 minutes left. I need to do it quick.
Yes.
The reason why the world the way it is now is because it's a lot harder out here. And for some odd reason, I'm just throwing this out here. When those Twin Towers went down, and when people thought 2000 everything was going to go haywire, people's minds have just flipped. And people are you can just tell by the news stories that you see. People are doing the craziest things out here, man. Mm-hmm. Stuff that don't even make sense. Stuff is just off the Richter scale. Stuff you think you would only see in the movies. People are actually doing this stuff now because something in their mind is telling them that, hell, life's over anyway. Why not do? You know, I'm gonna do what I want to do. Nobody cares about us. Nobody, you know. I truly, when you see stuff like this, you have to believe that this person was doing it. Feels like nobody loves them, or they have no other way of doing or getting by, and nothing else gonna work. So, what the hell?
Oh yeah.
And that's real. When you look at the stuff that's going on in New Orleans and Houston and all these hurricanes in California, that whole state is a mess right now. That's why
I think you're showing 2 minutes.
Huh?
I think you're showing 2 minutes on your show now.
Yeah, I'm down to 2 minutes. I can't stretch this show. Y'all know I usually stretch these shows out if I can, but tonight's going to be a bad night. So what we're going to do is probably roll this discussion over until tomorrow and mix it in with the topic for tomorrow. So let me real quick say, Russ, thank you for calling in, bro. I appreciate it very much, and I hope you call in tomorrow so we're going to take like 15 minutes for tomorrow and kind of close this out the right way. I'm not going to have time to close it out the right way tonight. So tomorrow, the first 15 minutes of the show, we'll definitely get back into this so we can close it out and go into
okay.
the next topic.
Well, thank you to both of you. Thank you.
No problem. God bless you, brother.
You bless.
You too.
I want to thank everybody for listening in. Definitely tune in tomorrow, same time, 8 o'clock. Issues of the Day Talk Radio with your host, New Voice of the People, and Jackie Rose. We're going to be here tomorrow through Sunday, and we're going to continue this discussion tomorrow for the first 15 minutes just to close this out because I think it's a chance to close it out right. But just want to say, vote. Know who you're voting for the right reasons, and vote for the right reasons, not for what the media says. Vote for what's in your heart and what your research has taught you, okay? Do not vote for color, do not vote for AIDS, do not vote for Army, vote for what you feel is right, you know, and do not allow the Republicans or anybody to discourage you from getting out and voting. Vote is important because the next 8 years is going to be very crucial on your families, on your life. You may not think it's going to affect you, but it's going to affect you. If it's affecting people around you and everything around you, it's going to affect you as well, all right? So email us, issuesofthedayyahoo.com, for any comments, anything you want to say. Tune in tomorrow. Appreciate everybody. Love y'all. Thanks for the support. Jackie, we're going to holler at you. We'll be here tomorrow. You know what time, 8 o'clock. And like I always say, love each other as you expect to be loved. Good night. God bless.
God bless. Good night.